This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad on a glorious sunny day, and I have to report the mountains close by are now covered in green stuff. No snow, unfortunately, but lots of people walking on them. I'm Eric Wiltshire in the glorious sun-bathed town of Poprad in the east of Slovakia. That's in Central Europe for everybody else's benefit, just underneath Poland, I guess. That bit on the side that's complaining bitterly about Europe, it is none other than the reprobate of Fleet Street, Lee Banks.
Well, thank you very much for that introduction. That was really charming and erudite. erudite. Can I point out that I have to say quite recently that Andrea's got man flu.
All right.
She's suffering really badly with it.
That worries me.
I'll have a little story to tell you about that in a minute.
All right. And in Gay Parry, which I think is also bathing in sunshine, is Mark Gander, the founder of the Consumer Action Group.
Yeah, well, hello there. But no, it's not bathing in sunshine. It's just literally bathing. It's bathing in water.
Oh, dear.
Which hadn't stopped falling all night.
Oh.
It's just been an amazing last probably 4 or 5 weeks. There's been torrential rain most days.
Oh, dear.
I don't know if there's still a drought.
Oh. I wrote a piece called Paris at Night in the Rain. A few years ago. And I love Paris in the Rain. It's a beautiful thing.
Okay. Anyway, before we get sidetracked, hi to the guys at Talk Radio X. We've got some really good stuff that you guys are going to love over there in a minute about radio. To Replay Radio as well, Audio Boo, and the lovely people at RTI. With a little apology this week, because we have had a few problems with one of our URLs, i.e. www.rti.fm has gone wonky. The man's on it at the moment. And if you are listening, anybody's confused, we have mentioned it on Facebook and various other pages. Just use the RTI.fm version and it works a treat.
But we've got a wonky man on it.
Anyway, moving along, this is a sideways look at the news, where we are going to gloat in a moment, where I'm going to pose the question, is the mobile phone the radio replacement for the 1960s transistor radio? We'll be talking about some conspiracy theories with the FTSE and everything else plunging like a ton of bricks. A little feature on, where's me socks gone? You got me knickers? And also we'll be looking at buses with Wi-Fi soon, copyright rules which have changed like mad in the UK, and the PR stunt that went completely mad this week, unless your name happens to be Lee. But we'll start off with a little happy birthday to President Obama, who I'm sure will remember his 50th birthday for years, considering what hell he's been through this week. Namely, the debt crisis in America, which has been kind of resolved, but not proper. And it always makes me wonder, if us three guys were talking to the bank manager and saying, listen, look, we can't pay our bills this month. Can you just up the overdraft? What would happen?
Good question.
Who do you think you are? You're running a bank? Become the raw prawn.
No, exactly. And on the same week that we've had rather large debts from the banks in the UK, a lot to do with setting aside some money for protection insurance, payment plan protection insurance, which Mark's mentioned before. And I want to clarify something with Mark just before we get started. There's a whole bunch of adverts going around on the TV for companies that claim they will help you get back the money that you've lost if you've been missold a payment protection insurance plan. Yeah. Now, am I right in thinking, Mark, you don't need one of those companies because you can do it yourself and they don't earn the commission?
Well, they certainly earn a lot of commission. And I have to say, on the Consumer Action Group website, we have never heard a good thing about any one of those companies. We always encourage people to do it themselves. And frankly, if there was any complication, it was before the recent case, which basically has said that PPI must be returned. And now, by and large, the banks have put their hands up. Although it's not plain sailing, you can do it yourself, and it's certainly worth it because you'll keep at least 25% more of your money than you would have done if you were giving it away to one of these claims firms. So, yes, I think beware. It's a nice learner for them, and if it's good for them, it's bad for you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Is there a sort of a fact sheet on your site, Mark?
Well, there probably should be.
Oops, sorry.
We're a huge site, mainly run by volunteers, and we've really outgrown ourselves. So we're a bunch of Boy Scouts. Is there a fact sheet? It's difficult, really, I think, to find all the information in one piece. But on the other hand, there is a PPI sub-forum. And
okay.
If you're prepared to put some work in and have a look at other people's stories, that's probably better than a fact sheet, actually, because it would mean that you will find people with exactly your experience. And then also, if you've got any questions, you come in, you ask, and people will put you
on
the
right. Yeah, I think that's the key to it, isn't it? Just a little bit of dialogue, ask some people for help there, and they'll do it.
Absolutely, and we don't charge any money. Nobody asks you for any money at all. It's all free. We're just in it for the kick. crack.
Right, fair enough. That answers that one. talking of cracking, Wall Street and the FTSE's plunged this week, and there's lots of conspiracy theories running around as investors fled Wall Street in the worst stock market sell-off since the Great Recession of 2009. I'm asking the question, isn't it just normal that sometimes this happens? And in actual fact, the whole thing's getting blown out of all proportion by journalists rushing to write a negative story.
No. Simple as that. We're in a major financial crisis, and this is affecting the world now. It's got nothing to do with journalists. Why journalists get the blame for everything, I do not know. The journalists didn't screw up the world's financial system.
Right.
The world's financial system stuffed itself by ripping everybody off and trying to capitalise on things. Do you know that yesterday, the bankers, that word,
Is that spelled with a W?
Probably.
No, it's spelled with a B because we all operate under Ofcom rules, sir.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. They spent yesterday £3 million on Dom Perignon champagne.
Did they?
In what they classed as a recession-free zone, right? 3,500 bankers had a party at the brewery in the City of London celebrate how well they were doing.
Well, maybe you can answer this question then, Lee. Companies like Kraft, which has just been sort of separated out into two bits, and
cheap slices,
and made vast sums of money, as of various other blue-chip companies around the world. Why for have they not been in the headlines?
I don't really know. I think they have, actually. Otherwise, you wouldn't know about it.
Well, I would, because I get press releases.
Well, then it's been in the headlines somewhere.
No. I get the press releases from companies, not from red-top journalists.
Well, of course you do. Red-top journalists don't send out press releases, dear.
Well, no, that's what I mean.
I agree with Lee. I think they're very much less of the mainstream. But I mean, one thing that I have to say
that might be on corner, actually. Thank you.
We've got Wall Street and FTSE plunging in the worst sell-off in 2 years. But believe me, if they're selling, then somebody's buying. And I can tell you that there are people who are making huge amounts of money out of this because they're buying while the price is going down, which is what you should be doing. And when the price is going up, as it will start going up again at some point, then they'll start selling and they will make fortunes.
Absolutely.
So we're hearing the bad news here, but a lot of people have got some very good news.
There was actually an interesting piece on Bloomberg Television, the business channel, the other day, where the journalisty types were really hammering this Blake in America. And he was going, no, don't be stupid, buy now. The prices are low, buy now. And they're going, oh, yeah, but that's a terrible thing to do. And he's going, no, that's business, buy now. And they were shouting him down all the time, just going back to the fact that it was dropping. And he was saying buy, which would push the thing up. And it just seemed so bizarre to me.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing's bizarre. And I'll tell you what, if you remember 2 weeks ago, I said that we need a whole new financial system to replace this capitalistic one.
We'll do it, the three of us.
Destroyed. Eh?
Well, the three of us
will do it. Yeah, that's right. But you both derided me for saying that. You both said it's impossible, it's unworkable. Well, one of the good things that's come out of this banking story this week is that actually, finally, the banks are looking at a proper way of realigning the financial system that's gone haywire, and it's about time we did it. We can't live on this bust and boom thing.
You can't live on debt all your life.
I'm quite sure it's not the banks who are trying to examine this way, by the way. I think governments
are doing it,
The banks are quite happy, and as you've said, you know, they're quite happy either drinking champagne or dolloping out their bonuses, you know. And, I mean, they make huge amounts of money from other people's...
Well, you can rest assured the governments wouldn't be making these, wouldn't even be investigating different forms of financial systems without the bankers actually being involved. They're experts. Involved,
but
well, yeah, I do agree with you.
Yeah, go on. Anyway, we'll prove the point that it's just a cycle as always is, because 50 years ago, roughly 50 years ago, there was another absolutely enormous change in lifestyle for people around the world, where as a small boy, I remember being sort of locked to my radio in the bedroom or the house, and being very, very honoured to have a valve radio in Daddy's car. And it was genuinely with valves. And you couldn't go walking about with your favourite radio station on your shoulder. And in the 1960s, the transistor radio came in, and it absolutely revolutionised the way we took our radio from place A to place B. And it now strikes me, with some figures out this week, that the mobile phone is doing exactly the same thing, sort of 50 years later, as did the transistor radio in the 1960s, because apparently those that listen to digital radio, 91% of those are mobile phone people. And ironically, in the very same week that the figures from Ofcom came out saying, you know, it's all down to mobile, we're not listening to digital radio on radios anymore, apart from 32% of the UK community. The rest of the, get this, 22.1 million people now listening to digital radio. I'll repeat that big number. 22.1 million people listening to digital radio are the kind of folks that will listen via their mobile phones.
Interesting. I'll tell you what, the problem I've got with mobile phones inside...
You have just got a problem with mobile phones.
I don't have a mobile phone problem at all. I am not phobic about mobile phones at all. The problem is that when I had my other phone that had a radio inserted into its little orifices, right, my head was the aerial.
Right.
Yeah, you had to put your headphones on, and your head became the aerial to your mobile phone radio.
That's how it works.
You're defying the laws of physics now.
He's talking about the headphone, the plug-in headphones, which are also the aerial.
The actual wire for the FM signal is the headphone. You can just hold the headphone cable up and it will work. It's nothing to do with your head.
Well, then you wouldn't be able to hear it because you haven't got your headphones on.
Well, you could have a piece of wire into your into one of your stations. One of your docking stations, I was removing the brand name I was about to say, and it will work equally as well.
Like a sketchy coat hanger.
I had a mobile phone on my head, and my head was the aerial. And the problem is, it's fine. But as soon as you like look to your left or right to cross the road, it changes stations.
Right.
Yes. Yes, no, I mean, that's absolutely true. And, I mean, of course, you're talking about, you know, your valve radio in your car when you were younger.
Where
did you insert your valve?
Stop it. So
I was going to say, it was luxury. We had a crystal set in our car.
I had a cat's whisker.
Hey, very good. Actually, can I just clarify something here? Because the anoraks listening will absolutely be falling about at the moment. Digital radio is not the type of radio you were listening to with your older mobile, Lee. That was analog FM radio. Totally different setup.
I went out with analog.
Yeah, I know you did many years ago. It's that old.
You turned in the queue, I think, didn't you?
Yes, exactly. Anyway.
You'd be rude about that.
So anyway, the good news is it looks like we've got a replacement to a device that came out 60 years ago, or 50 years ago rather, in the transistor radio. And it looks like an old buddy of mine, Christopher, will be very pleased because he's been banging on about this will happen since day one of mobile phones. The mobile phone has now become the radio portable listening device for people people, and there's 22 million people out there in the UK listening to digital radio. And if you are listening to one of the podcasts here, it's nice to have you with us.
May I ask a red top question?
Yes.
There are 22 million people listening to digital radio. Is that right? Have I read you right? Have I listened?
That's according to the latest figures from RAJAR, which is the Joint Audience Research Group in the UK.
How many people are in the world?
I have no idea.
6.5 billion, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but this.
So that's a very small percentage of the world's population actually listening to digital radio.
Wasn't this just a UK survey?
It's just the UK survey.
22 million people in the UK?
Yes.
Yeah.
A third of the population are listening to digital. That's brilliant, isn't it?
Oh, <it's short>. Sometimes I despair. I'm going to have a nervous breakdown.
Don't have a nervous breakdown.
I'm going to cry.
I'm not prepared.
Lee?
Yeah?
Which bit of the world does Ofcom regulate?
Ofcom?
Yes.
That's actually Russia, isn't it?
No. Which part of the world does Ofcom regulate, Lee?
Ofcom. I've heard of them, you know. I've heard of that. Is it Venezuela.
Next.
I think that's DEFCON 1.
Is it? Unfortunately, Lee, those that were paying attention to the radio programme at the beginning will have noted the comment that you made about being regulated by Ofcom, which you
shut
said...
Up, just shut up and leave me. I can go home, you know. I'm in my house.
Anyway, to let Lee have his 2 seconds of fame, then apparently some donut has issued some research claiming that mobile phones are bad for you again.
I haven't got anything to do with it.
Well, you wrote it, not me.
Which one is it? Give me the headline. I bet it's nothing to do with me.
Nearly every 11-year-old in Britain now owns a mobile phone, according to research released today, says Lee.
They prefer Blackberries.
Yeah.
It's quite right. It is me. I did put that on.
You did,
it's
didn't you?
At the end of my list.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I think that's amazing that all 11-year-olds now virtually own mobile phones. Actually, why is that, though? Why does that? I suppose it offers security to parents. It makes you be able to be in touch with your kids. You could use all those systems to know what they're doing and when they're doing it, mm-hmm. How they're doing it.
And can I just ask a question? Let me just ask a question of both of you. When you were younger, did you have Walkman-style radios?
No.
No.
Never?
No. Never had them in Manchester.
are you then going to say why should children need mobile phones now?
No. What I'm suggesting is, yet again, the mobile phone is replacing that piece of portable entertainment we had as youngsters, and today it just happens to be within a mobile phone.
I agree with you. I think you're absolutely right. The mobile phone is something that's just invaded every bit of our lives. The problem is, and I mean this quite seriously, gentlemen, and I don't expect you to laugh at me and take the mickey because you know I'm a bit fragile because Andrea's got man flu and I'm a bit worried about her, and I have a story to tell you about that in a minute.
Yes.
But the simple fact is, what works better, a proper phone or a mobile phone?
In London...
Anywhere in the world.
In London...
Mobile phones do not do the jobs they're supposed to do, which is make phone calls and accept phone calls.
That's if you try and use a mobile phone in Lincoln's Inn in London, I would agree. If you try and climb a mountain in Slovakia or go down a cave in Slovakia, I would argue against you because they work perfectly well.
Oh, listen!
Even in the caves.
Yes.
Whenever we have a little tete-a-tete on the phone, and I'm living in the wonderful Midlands of this hole that's called the UK,
and your phone don't work.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't work. No phones that are mobile work. It's because phones were made to stay exactly where they are put on your table and your hallway outside your front door.
Right.
Then
it
works.
Yeah, newspapers are produced using hot print.
Ladies and gentlemen, I wish to say publicly now that I am offended by that remark, and the fact that Eric is trying to needle me into a fight publicly
in
front of millions of people.
Yes.
I think he's wrong, and I want to register my complaint, and I would like people to write in and berate him for it. Stop picking on journalists. Everybody's picking.
Well,
wrong.
That's all right. They can always do it at the e-petition thing, which we're coming to later, on the UK government site, which is a complete disaster.
Wait, that have us all hanged.
Anyway, have you ever been in the position where you've gone to her indoors and said, I've only got one sock? And she replies, you wearing me knickers? Because both of you have lost a part of your underwear. And the mystery of the missing sock has finally been solved. It's been announced today, very much today, in some research done by HomeServe, which cover people both in the US and in the UK. And, and drainage engineers in the UK have recovered over 5,000 pairs of pants, knickers and socks from the nation's pipes last year.
I bet they've all come from my house.
But bizarrely, they've also found bits of garden furniture, fireworks, dog bowls, shuttlecocks and a £10 note have been discovered in block pipes in the
God,
UK.
That was mine. That's mine. That's mine.
I claimed it
for
you.
Worse still...
You can have the budgie. It's wrapped up in toilet paper.
Absolutely. Worse still, they've even found some mobile phones and some handheld gaming devices down the drain. Oh my word, what are you lot like?
Well, what else do you put down your drains?
I can't comment.
It is a universal mystery, isn't it? I mean, about socks. I mean, you can buy pairs of socks. You never know whether they get them colour coded or just all the same, because you know damn well that, you know, you're going to end up with, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, and then just one sock. And
it's a sod hopping around on one sock.
Absolutely.
How's your arm, by the way? Have you only got one glove?
Sorry,
it's still strapped up.
In joke for new listeners, Mark fell off his bike and broke his collarbone. Yeah. So anyway, they've come up with 5 simple drainage do's and don'ts. Bless them. And this is one that I know will get everybody. And actually, it's not terribly eco-friendly to do this. So
while
think about
doing it. While you're doing it, let's all see if we can admit or deny we've done each one of these.
Well, okay, I have to admit to the first one. Don't pour leftover fat down the drain.
Oh, well, absolutely not. It makes very, very good dripping and wonderful on sandwiches.
Absolutely. An estimated 500,000 sewer blockages last year in the UK were because of solidifying waste fat in pipes. You should keep the packages left over fat and dispose of it properly. The other thing that they do in Slovakia, which I never used to do in England, is have a plug hole sieve.
I've got one of those.
They're great ideas.
They are, aren't they?
But
they
were. Yeah.
I'll tell you what happened to ours. My partner, who throws everything away, threw it away.
It went down the drain, I know.
It went in the dustbin.
Absolutely. Yeah, but I'm the world's worst because my partner takes the sink sieve out, empties it into the rubbish bin, and does it properly. Me, I put hot water on it and shovel the bits down the sink. Don't flush the family goldfish down the loo.
I've done it.
Have you?
And a budgie. And a cat. I once tried it with a cat, but it got stuck in the U-bend.
Apparently, you should remove jewellery before doing the washing up.
Yes.
That doesn't apply to me. I don't wear any.
And I don't wash up.
And don't allow
small children.
Yeah. Don't allow
small children.
Yeah. Don't allow small children to take toys into the bathroom unsupervised. Yeah. The logic behind this should be obvious. Oh, no, sorry, I don't get it.
Well, no, because otherwise you come into the bathroom and there's only the toy left in the bath.
Ah, well, see, the kid's gone down the toilet.
Yes, my baby's gone down the plug hole.
Oh, that's the one, yes. That's a very good one. And so anyway, the top 10, here we go. I can't do the old song. I should have had the stink jingle with me. The top 10 things are household waste, hair, fat, food, dirt, general build-up, yes. Children's toys, food packaging, underwear, I wasn't lying, dead animals and birds' nests, jewellery, cigarette packets,
bottles.
2.1% of the survey was bottles, which resulted in 1,560 call-outs in the UK last year. Mobile phones and other gadgets, and apparently this applies to the 7 million UK home serve customers. And believe it or not, it could be you as well, Mark, because 3 million of their customers are in the USA and France. Mm,
yes. And one of the firms in France.
What?
I'm just thinking of all the things that might go down the plug hole. It's really quite disgusting.
It is rather, isn't it?
Well, like what?
I'm pleased I'm not a drainage engineer, I have to say.
No. Have you seen that programme on Discovery America, the Dirty Jobs thing?
No.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. Similar thing over
oh.
here.
Oh, horrible. Anyway.
I always wanted to be one of those people who clean drains out with those spinny round things.
Yeah, I've used one. You used to have to.
No, I wanted to do it for a living.
Oh, no.
How did you?
No. Anyway, if you're travelling on holiday to London or you're working in London, you'll be pleased to know that the Mayor's Office and Virgin Media both say Wi-Fi on buses will be soon.
A very good idea.
Yeah, nothing wrong with it at all. What a good
Absolutely
idea.
Not, because it moves. It makes it so much easier for the thieves to grab everybody's laptops.
It had to come to. He's just in that journalistic mode today. He really
I'm not
is.
In a journalistic. But if you mention journalism again, I am. I'm going to.
So what
I think most people actually would be using it on their smartphones.
Yes.
Oh, what a smart answer. No, I think it's because actually we do need to bring the public transport system into this new technological age, so people will actually use it. Probably
I can see.
It's so expensive.
I'll tell you what, though, I can see companies like BT not being happy.
Well, of course. I mean, I can remember when, for instance, when Skype first came out and it was made illegal in Israel. It's true. I mean, you know, any company isn't going to be very happy about having its business model interfered with by having free services. But they'll get used to it, and it's a great idea. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to the time when, quite frankly, there's just Wi-Fi, you know, it's just universally in the cloud, so to speak. Yeah. You know, wherever you are, I think it's going to be great, and it will happen. Mm.
Well, I'm sure I've told this story before, but it's very true, dear listener, that I live about 10 minutes away from the office, Lee, something like that.
Yeah. If you
something like that. So 10-minute drive in the car, and literally from my home all the way to my office, I can be automatically connected to a Wi-Fi service, and if I really wanted to, I could listen to Capital Radio on their iPhone app all the way from home to the RTI office in Slovakia. No problem.
Great.
Job done.
Great.
Absolutely. Do you get Wi-Fi on trains now? You do, don't you?
Yes, on some train services, yeah.
On some British trains,
why is this, why is this being made such a... Well, I know, that's what I mean. Yeah, why is this being made such a big thing?
I don't know, because...
It's simple to transfer it, shouldn't
it? Well, it is, but what the issue here, technically here, is the Wi-Fi hotspots will have to be put or connected through Virgin's own cabinets or hubs all around the capital.
Right.
So there's a lot of work to be done there with base stations to be put in, which is the science bit. But once that's done, and in actual fact, talking about the third world countries, so many people see Slovakia, idiots, we've actually got Wi-Fi on a lot of trains that go between Poprad and Bratislava now.
Oh, really?
Yep.
And how long is that journey?
About 3.5 hours.
That's great.
Yeah, really so you can. Coming up in part two, as we're out of part one already, believe it or not, copyright fears, the PR stunt that went absolutely barking mad, and also a really positive story about Skype. Can you believe it? And then there's a negative one about Twitter to follow up. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. And we'll have a quick update on Rowan Atkinson, who's currently in hospital as well. That's the end of part one, boys and girls. Some postcards from Poprad. Lee, Mark and myself will be back in, well, as fast as you can get that milkshake down here.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.